From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Nothing Old. The text is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Glory be to his name. All things need making new, for they are sadly battered and worn by sin. It is time that the old vesture was rolled up and laid aside, and that creation put on her Sunday suit. But no one else can make all things new, except the Lord who made them at the first. For it needs as much power to make out of evil as to make out of nothing. Our Lord Jesus has undertaken the task, and he is fully competent for the performance of it. Already he has commenced his labor, and for centuries he has persevered in making new the hearts of men and the order of society. By and by he will make new the whole constitution of human government, and human nature shall be changed by his grace. And there shall come a day when the body shall be made new, and raised like unto his glorious body. What a joy to belong to a kingdom in which everything is being made new by the power of its king! We are not dying out. We are hastening on to a more glorious life. Despite the opposition of the powers of evil, our glorious Lord Jesus is accomplishing his purpose and making us and all things about us new and as full of beauty as when they first came from the hand of the Lord.
Thank you.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called The Reign of Grace. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been providing scriptural proofs that grace now reigns for every believer. First proof is the efficiency of God's plan, which is based upon covenant terms. The second proof is the sovereignty of God's purpose. All who are in Adam die, but all who are in Christ receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Then we've seen the certainty of the product. Because God has imputed Christ's righteousness to believers, they stand justified in God's sight, as if they had done all that Christ has done. Finally, the reign of grace is secure because of the sufficiency of its power. Everything that has to do with the believer's salvation is in Christ, not in your decision, your faith, your tears, or even your repentance. Only Christ could merit God's favor. Because he cannot fail, grace cannot fail. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, The Reign of Grace.
This is a glorious statement that we have in verse 20 and 21. We notice that grace does what the law could never do. The law cannot justify. In fact, the law was never intended to justify. That's true of all law, including the Mosaic law. The Jews therefore totally misconstrued the purpose of God's law. And many people are still misconstruing it today. The Jews made the law a way of gaining God's acceptance. Indeed, for them, that was the primary way of God's acceptance. But Paul shows two things. First, the law was not primary in any sense. It came in beside. As Galatians 3 puts it, it was added. And second, he shows that its purpose was to increase the offense. That the offense might abound, to increase the offense. Now that is a deep and wonderful statement. You see, throughout this passage, the offense is Adam's first transgression. It's Adam's original sin. And while most preachers and commentators don't take it this way, I think it's foolish to leave it out. In the words of Charles Hodge, saying that this was a possibility, he says it may well mean that the dire effects of Adam's sin were rendered more abundant by the law. And certainly we may add that it may well mean that the law might define sin, identify sin, and condemn sin in all the mighty mass and multitude of human wickednesses. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Sin is increased for many reasons by the law. But I think here mostly what the purpose of this statement is to tell us that whatever else the law was sent to do with regards to justification, it means to cut us off entirely and forever from any attempt to justify ourselves by our works before God. The law cannot justify. So modern German theologian with whom I would have many, many differences in, at many points, but at this point he has a wonderful statement. And he says, between Adam and Christ and the worlds inaugurated by them, there is no third alternative, namely legal piety. There is no such thing as in Adam there's death. And in Christ there's life, but in between there's Moses as a way of possibly getting to heaven. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, when people depend on their works, the question is, have I ever done enough? And have I ever done anything well enough? And the answer is no. Now, this is something that you should think of even if you're trusting in the righteousness of Christ, because again and again and again and again, Satan seeks to move God's people away from grace to works, at least in their thinking. Or in their attitudes to the Lord. They make you doubt your salvation. By getting your eyes off Christ. You see, he's the object of faith. Never make your own decision for Christ, or your own faith in Christ, or your own coming to Christ. Never make that the object of your faith. I mean, why do you want to have faith in your faith? Your faith must be in Christ. And when Satan gets your eyes off that, then he'll ask you, did you weep enough? Did you feel deeply enough? Did you pray sincerely enough? Did you repent fully enough? And then the big one, oh, you believed, but did you really believe? Let me tell you, there's no such thing as really believing. For if you don't really believe, you just don't believe. Listen carefully. The law cannot justify. You never do anything well enough. And you never do enough of anything. And what you do is riddled with the imperfections of your own fallen nature. But grace justifies. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The grace does what the law could never do. And grace delivers from all sin, all guilt, and all condemnation, both original sins and actual transgressions. Do you notice in verse 16 at the end, it justifies from many offenses? And that's why it reigns. It deals with all your sin. I don't want to take too much time in this, but when it says it reigns, does that not automatically tell you it breaks the dominion of sin? It breaks the dominion of sin. I'm not going to anticipate what we do in Romans chapter 6 when it says sin shall no more have dominion over you. Grace breaks sin's dominion. It brings us into a new realm. It places us under a new king. It brings us to bow before a new throne. By grace, we read verse 17, righteousness reigns in life by one, Jesus Christ. So grace not only does what the law couldn't do, it delivers from all the guilt and condemnation of every kind of sin. And then verse 20, in one of the most wonderful statements in all of the Bible, it superabounds over sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Have you ever noticed that everything that God does is marked by abundance? Have you ever noticed that? Isaiah 55:7, he not only pardons, he abundantly pardons. 2 Peter 1 verse 11, he not only gives us an entrance into glory, but he ministers an entrance more abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He not only delivers from guilt, he justifies. He not only removes our sin, he imputes the righteousness of Christ. He not only delivers from the deepest hell, but he exalts to the highest heaven and glory. He not only brings us out of Adam, he brings us into Christ. Truly we can say, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And there is the thought here. The law of God will investigate, it will convict, it will bring sin to light, it will condemn that sin, and it will condemn the sinner. The law will go through a man's soul until it brings out into the full light of day all the filthiness and wickedness and hell-deserving things that are in his heart. Oh, how we need the law to do that work. In this day of smug, I think that's a good word for it, smug, presumption, masquerading as Christian assurance. In this day when foolish preachers are telling unbelievers that they're secure in Christ, we need the law of God to get into the hearts and souls of men, investigating them, bringing to the light the hidden things of darkness, condemning sin, convicting sinners, so that they feel, I am a mass of corruption, I am a filthy, guilty, rotten, hell-deserving sinner, and if God dropped me into hell tonight, from the depths of hell, I would have to cry, my God, thou art righteous. But you know when the law does that, grace does much more abound. The law points you to your sin. Grace points you to Christ's righteousness. The law points you to your own filth and pollution. The law points you to that fountain filled with Jesus' blood. Grace does much more abound. I tell you tonight, this proves that grace reigns. This is the sufficiency of its power. And the final thing that proves this and the sufficiency of its power is that grace exercises this power on the ground of Christ's all-prevailing merits and mediation, the end of verse 21, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by or through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace moves on the merits and the mediation of Christ, and they can never fail. Did Jesus live in vain? Did Jesus die in vain? It's impossible. But he lived in vain. And he died in vain. If one single humble believer in him should ever be condemned to hell, his righteous obedience, his action as our covenant head must prevail. And thus grace can never fail in the exercise of its saving power. And this again is something Paul will deal with later in chapter 8. For now it's enough to say, grace superabounded in order that it might mount the throne and reign effectively. Do you know the beautiful thing about it? All we who believe in Jesus Christ are its subjects. If you're a believer in Christ, you're under the scepter of sovereign grace. And there's not a more secure place to be. Think of it as we finish. Its plan is efficient, and it cannot fail. Therefore, believers are secure in union with Christ. Its purpose is sovereign and cannot fail. Therefore, believers are secure in union with Christ. Its product is certain and cannot fail. Therefore, believers are secure in union with Jesus Christ. And its power is sufficient and cannot fail. Therefore, believers are secure in union with Jesus Christ. Death has reigned. Many of us can look back when we lay as slaves under its awful tyranny. But tonight, grace reigns, and we are happy subjects of Christ, the King of grace. Are you saved? Are you justified? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Has God ever done that work of exposing the filth and the sin and the wickedness and the wretchedness and the hell-deserving nature of your own heart? Has he ever brought you to the place where you realize, I am a poor, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner, and if God dropped me to hell tonight, it would be nothing more than I personally deserved? Has God ever exposed to you your sin? Has he brought you to the place where you writhe in your conscience under the recognition of your guilt because you're still in Adam? Then, my friend, let me point you to Christ, the King of grace. Jesus Christ says, come unto me. He's the answer to sin. His grace is the answer to guilt. He is able to save. He's able to justify. How do you get into Christ? I know what the Holy Spirit regenerates. I know it's the Holy Spirit puts a man in Christ. But I also know, Galatians 3:26, that you are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And as the old theologians put it, grace or faith is a uniting grace. Faith is the uniting grace. That's what puts you into Christ. Come then, trust, believe, and be saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.